Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon, first day of November. QT, it is No Shave November. Are you going to go after that Zane Paisley beard?
I have started to grow out my Zane Paisley beard. I might even challenge Zane Paisley to a most luxurious beard contest. Yes, that's just developing. Yes.
Wow, that is Iron Buddha level shocking new.
And what is most Iron level Buddha shocking news, even more than the luxurious beard contest that Zane and I will probably sign contracts to compete in, is that you had no trick-or-treaters yesterday.
That's not too much Iron Buddha level shocking news. It's been years since I had one. But before we get jumping on with our guest, who will be calling any second, some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling. KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. AWE in Atlanta, Georgia. NWA Circle City featuring our own Cameron Starr. And also NWA Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion Bad Blood stopping by Indianapolis tonight. And as usual on a Sunday, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles, where I will be later today and where QT will be avoiding in case he runs into darkness.
I prefer to call him a man of twilight. Yes.
To his face?
Well, sure, yes. any how would you say, antisocial behavior that darkness may have felt yesterday has been wrung out by his most favorite holiday yesterday. He's probably pretty tired today. Yes.
I don't know, because if you think he had an extra hour to rest because of the switch over from daylight savings to standard time.
Yes, you do make a good point, sign guy. Spring ahead, fall behind. He did get an extra hour of sleep. Yes. I hadn't counted into that factor. But I still believe any antisocial, how would you say, means or temperament that he has briefly shown throughout the last few months probably got erased. Yes, I'm counting on he didn't get much sleep in that extra hour. That's what I'm counting on.
What do you think the darkness was doing?
I believe he was doing reconnaissance for the U.S. government in various neighborhoods like Ballard and SeaTac. Yes.
That's a possibility, I guess. Now,
well,
were you also on any type of reconnaissance mission and say, I don't know, maybe Georgetown?
I categorically deny that I am working for the government. However, Sun Guy, if you wanted to do reconnaissance for the U.S. government, who better to hire than Darkness?
Probably the Patriot, because there's no sports entertainer more patriotic than the Patriot, so he would love to work for the government in any capacity he could do, I'm sure.
Very good point, Sign Guy. Could you ever see a day where the Patriot and Darkness might link up to join forces?
That would be the most amazing thing that has ever happened anywhere.
Perhaps, now on that, maybe my note that is in suspension that I was going to give Roy Lovejoy today might hint at that, a possible Patriots Darkness link-up.
Now, imagine, QT, if Darkness were to ever tag team with the Dark Patriot.
Well, then you'd have a Darkness beyond black. Remember the Spinal Tap episode where they got the new printing of their new album, and it was the black album? And the bass player, Ian Huggins, said, how black can blackness get? And the answer is none. Yes, I'm a huge fan of Spinal Tap. That's what I'm getting at. And their black album.
All right. So you're saying your all-time favorite tag team, if it ever occurred, would be Darkness and the Dark Patriot. And you would
want
them to come out with some sort of entrance music performed by Spinal Tap. That's what you're getting at.
Yes, I would love to see the Dark Patriot and his new partner, Darkness, come out to Big Bottoms by Spinal Tap. I'd pay huge money to see that. Yes. Big Bottoms.
Are we talking about $300?
Oh, boy, that's about the price of a Black Sabbath ticket, of which I hope to go to in the Tacoma Dome in February. But no, I'd have to settle for a little bit less than that because I'm a cheap bastard.
About $225?
$225, there you go, yes.
Yeah, that'd probably take care of that situation, but I believe, QT, we have been joined by our guest. Without further ado, let's bring on multi-champion, the best in the world, Casey Carlisle. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for having me back on. I appreciate it.
Anytime. You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Now, my first piece of business is something that transpired yesterday, because on our Buddha special Halloween episode, we had Team IOU, Nick Iggy and Kerry Awful, and I'm guessing without official consent, QT Vokes attempted to do some negotiations to make a merchandise exchange. T-shirts for autographed pictures. Team IOU wanted to point out to you they would gladly exchange a Team IOU T-shirt for three American $10 bills.
Three. It sounds like that's. Well, I mean, how does that work exactly? They want three U.S. $10 bills from me for one of their T-shirts.
That is what I was understanding from them. But they are carny, and sometimes it's hard to understand carny.
I feel like I would be plopping down 10 American dollar bills if I went to their website or something of the like to purchase said T-shirt. I feel like I'm not getting a deal at all. What happened? What's going on here? You didn't negotiate well enough, sign guy.
It was QT's negotions. I
QT
stayed out of the negotiation
process.
QT
brush up on
process.
His negotiation skills. I don't hear any interest from them from having any exchange. This sounds more like them trying to land a sale rather than exchanging.
That's what I took from it, but QT was momentarily bedazzled, and he just dropped the ball on the negotiations. He could have got a much better deal.
Is he still bedazzled? Now I'm curious.
QT, do you feel bedazzled?
Yeah.
Yes, I even have a bedazzler from the 80s, late 80s. Yes.
I tend to believe you, QT. I don't know what that says about either you or me, but I do tend to believe you.
Well, I think the bedazzler's going to make a huge, major comeback. Yes. You know how things go in 20-year cycles.
Well, I was going to say, you do realize that you just referenced the fact that it was from the 80s, and that's been, you know, I mean, we're kind of coming up on that point in time where if it's going to come back, it needs to do it, like, now. Otherwise, it's just one of those old nostalgic things.
Yes.
A nostalgic gimmick, if you would.
Old and nostalgia that does kind of, well, you remember Mood Rings. They made a pretty big comeback, yes.
I'm waiting for the Hypercolor T-shirt to make a comeback, actually. Do you remember the Hypercolor T-shirt?
Yes, the Grateful Dead wore them, yes.
I'm waiting for those. If those make a comeback, then I'll be impressed. Because I feel like they were only effective if, you know, you lived in a climate in which the temperature changed drastically during the day, or perhaps you were in an exercise workout situation and you intentionally raised your body heat. Otherwise, how can you test the Hypercolor?
You'd have
to fly a lot because you'd have to go from climate to climate.
Right? Don't they seem like more hassle than one? My sister had one. That's why I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I never owned one. My sister had one, but I think she stole it from somebody. An ex-boyfriend or something. Not, like, actually stole it.
Wouldn't that still be stealing?
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you're in a relationship and they give you their shirt, it's all sentimental and crap. And it's supposed to be like, oh, here, honey, let take this Hypercolor T-shirt and think of me as the colors change. Is that stealing, or is that simply accepting a token of love or what you believe to be love when you're whatever age we were?
Is it really love if that's what they give you?
That's another valid question. If you ask me, I don't know. I think that depends on what the other options were. Why was it the Hypercolor T-shirt that was chosen? Was that the best thing they had to offer? Which I'm not knocking them.
Sounds like a really kind way to just end a relationship. Here, have this Hypercolor T-shirt, and then you just watch as they walk away, and there's no big blow-up, there's no handwritten note, there's no tweet, just a Hypercolor T-shirt, and that pretty much seals the deal right there.
See, tweeting wasn't an option back then. I mean, this is like the 90s we're talking about. I must say I'm impressed in the fact that we're like 1 minute into this interview and we've already gone from starting at multi-women's champion to Hypercolor T-shirts by way
we
of
like
the,
to run the
Team IOU T-shirt. We have Team IOU to thank for this conversation.
Well, that's what happens when you let a dog steer you into a dark path.
Who's the dog? Who's the dog who steered us?
That would be Carrie Awful.
Oh, Carrie. Why is Carrie the dog?
Because Nick Iggy is a boy, and Nick Iggy has this dog, Carrie Awful, and together they are Team IOU.
Has this been confirmed by both Nick and Carrie?
Yes.
It has. Okay. Then
yes.
I will openly accept it as fact rather than assumption.
It has also been confirmed by my leg because I was in a match with Carrie Awful once and he did some questionable things.
Oh,
yep.
I feel like this is a traumatic subject for you, Sign Guy.
I'm starting to get past it. I'm almost there.
Well, you keep working on that. You'll get there one day. Persistence. It's all about persistence.
It really is. Now,
so,
speaking
hi, everybody.
Of T-shirts, it's been a while. I'm always checking for updates.
Are you still holding your breath? Because I'm impressed. And I'm going to be really impressed when you keep doing it, because that's what's needed. Still hasn't happened, dude. I have been saying for years I was going to get T-shirts, and I can't tell you how many designs I have. I just haven't been able to get them done yet. But it's going to happen. That's my next merchandise item.
I'm just waiting to hand over those U.S. $10 bills to get one of those shirts. Team IOU will try to carny them out of me. They will not succeed.
They will. And by the way, P.S., you will need fewer U.S. dollar bills to purchase a Casey Carlisle T-shirt than you will a Team IOU T-shirt. My T-shirts will be fewer than three $10 U.S. bills.
That's an amazing value right there, because I would have gladly given you like five U.S. $10 bills.
Well, now if you say that, then obviously I'm going to have to take advantage of that, and you know, I don't want to carny you out of anything. Those are thoughts best left in your head. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't take that much money. $50 for a T-shirt?
A Casey Carlisle T-shirt. Now, come on. You wouldn't pay that much for a Casey Carlisle T-shirt?
Well, I think you're asking the wrong person. In this conversation, I feel like I'm the wrong person to ask, because if it's me, I would say any price tag is reasonable, because come on, it's Casey Carlisle. But seeing as though I am Casey Carlisle, I feel like I'm a little biased. I feel like I'm not the best unobjective, unbiased source to provide that information, to provide a fair yet potentially profitable price to all of your listeners. What would you think? What do you set, Sign Guy? What is your idea of a fair T-shirt price while we're on the subject? America wants to know. The world wants to know.
Well, see, I already made it known I would pay up to five U.S. $10 bills, but if we're talking
about... you've got to say at least... Yeah, see, I was wondering if you would think of that, too, because I was going to say you can't say a number less than 50 now.
Yeah, I would still stand firm with that. I would think it was a tremendous value at that.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I introduce them, I will do a special introductory price of 50 U.S. dollars. And when I've sold that one that's being shipped out to Seattle, I will then lower the price so that I can sell additional units.
I cannot guarantee that I would not buy additional units, because sometimes I've been known to wear a shirt almost every day of the week.
That being said, you should buy multiple quantities at the time of purchase. Therefore, once your complete order is shipped, all of a sudden they go on sale. See, then I'm working you for the maximum amount of money.
There you go. And then QT would be able to buy a few dozen shirts, because he also likes to wear shirts. I've seen him in public wearing shirts.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well,
I
think my limit would be $19.99 for a Casey Carlisle shirt. Yes.
See, you just used the loose change angle. We hadn't even addressed that point yet. So So QT, if I had them listed for $20 even, you would not purchase a T-shirt?
Well, bearing in mind $19.99, if the prices went up to $29.99, I could get the multiple pack T-shirts. Yes. Like, jumping up $10 in price, then I get three.
Oh, I see. So you're open to buying multiple units at $19.99 a pop, but if it were $20 each, then we could see the number of units decrease as far as the QTPO goes.
In theory, yes.
I see.
Yes.
This is good. This is good intel. This is all good, like, recon that I'm doing. See, this is very subliminal. You guys didn't know that I had plans to come on here and do marketing research for my T-shirts, but yet it's happening.
We're like the most functional show ever. People just come
like
to us for market research.
I feel like
yes.
One of those car commercials where they're doing a little focus group gimmick and the people find out after the fact that they were being used the whole time. Only you guys know up front.
That's true.
Because I just told you. Yeah. So thanks. Thank you for being my focus group for my marketing.
I've never felt so focused in a group in all my days.
Good. Well, as long as it's about Casey Carlisle, that's a good thing.
I think so.
Well, I tend to agree. But, I might be a little biased.
Now, me, of course, being unbiased, I would still agree.
Well, that's good to know. I can put that down then. You know, that way it doesn't look like I was swaying the vote or swaying the answer at all. That way it just looks very authentic. A term that I hear used a lot, but I hate, but I'll use it just because everyone else does. It's very organic that way. That's all you hear anymore. Organic. That's popped up out of nowhere, I feel, and it kind of annoys me. I don't like it.
Are you saying you're not a fan of the organic fruits?
No. I'm not a fan of something that occurs naturally being constantly referred to as organic. I feel like it's already being overused, even though it's relatively new to our vernacular. feel like it's just being a little bit overused. Let it happen organically. That's a very organic, like, you know, what happened to just be real, just be true, just be honest, just let things happen as they may. It just seems very, I don't know, markety.
Cliches is a word that you're looking for.
It's a sudden cliche, it is. It's like this sudden cliche. Everybody wants to reference something as being organic. And when I hear the word organic, I think of the produce section at the grocery store. I don't think of fan reactions, and I don't think of relationships or anything like that. Maybe it's just me. I'm an oddball. I've already established that and known that, so I don't know.
Or that damn term gluten-free. Gluten-free can be like a relationship, yes.
See, I don't pay attention to the gluten-free because I am not one affected by that issue. Therefore, I pay no mind to it.
Oh, okay.
I'm lucky enough to be able to pig out on whatever I want to pig out of, you know, at the time, and not have any concern or remorse other than what it might do to my waistline.
How could it make it any more perfect than it already is, though? Unless, like, gluten is some sort of magical treat that just keeps it perfect year-round after year-round after year-round.
Well, I applaud you. That's well done. That's an excellent attempt at sucking up. But unfortunately, my waistline is far from perfect in many ways, trust me, my friend, especially over the years. And anyone who's paid attention to me knows that.
I don't know. Once again, being unbiased, I'm going to call it like I see it.
I think our definitions of unbiased are differing at this point in time.
I don't know what type of dictionary you have, but mine's modern.
Are you speaking out against Webster? Got a problem with Webster all of a sudden?
No,
Webster,
I was a big fan of Emmanuel Lewis.
Okay. Duly noted.
Now, besides market research on people here in the Pacific Northwest, it's long been discussed. Eventually, there will be a Casey Carlisle Pacific Northwest tour. Have you been doing some scouting of potential opponents for when you do come to this region? Because eventually it'll happen. Eventually.
One day. You know, to be honest with you, we've been using the word eventually for so long that the opponents I've been scouting have changed over the years. There's different people to scout. And so at this point in time, I have to say I need to brush up on my Pacific Northwest scouting. I've not scouted recently, and I guess I should get on that because hopefully, and that word was in all capital letters, hopefully within the next few months, this Pacific Northwest debut that we've been talking about for so long will actually happen. I hope. It's been a goal of mine.
Well, I think it's been a goal of many people. It might be the happiest day in QT's life.
I'm not going to
put any pressure on you, but it might be like the one bright shining star in an otherwise kind of dreary, drab, gray existence of QT Vote.
Oh, boy. Well, I was going to say, please don't make me feel as though it's make or break for me, you know, like as far as QT's life goes. What if I'm sick when I come out there? And like, I think I need more details. What exactly is the quality of QT's life depending upon? Is it simply me being there? Is it me winning every match I have out there? Is it us taking a photograph together? I want to make sure I know what standard I need to live up to in order to help the quality of QT's life be the best that it can be.
I believe it is that
and
having
and
the T-shirt at $19.99.
Yes.
$19.99 T-shirt. And what were you saying, QT?
And a record of 9-1 against opponents out here. Yes.
Oh, shit. 9-1.
A lot
That's
of
a
matches.
Lot of matches to cram into one weekend.
Well, yes, but if you can get that one defeat right around the 4 or 5 mark, it breaks up the monotony.
Well, see, now my mind has taken a turn, and now I'm wondering why you want me to lose in the first place. What is this desire to see me lose? I'm not cool with that. I don't want me to lose. I want to win. I want to go home being undefeated in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, very few wrestlers, Casey, come out of the Northwest unscathed. There's a lot of skullduggery out here and sleight of hand. There's a lot of sneaky managers. Yep.
Is there? Hmm. But that's not to say it's impossible. It's not to say it's impossible for Casey Carlisle to be boarding the plane to come back home undefeated. It might be hard, but it's not impossible. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. The 1972 Miami Dolphins were undefeated, and even the Chicago Bears lost, and they were 15-1 in 1985. Yes.
This is true. Yes. That's way to pull some examples there, QT. Very good. Yes, those are both very valid examples.
I'm going
very
to say
valid.
Right now you epitomize the 15-1 Chicago Bears.
Do I?
Yes.
I think it's because you do that dance.
I love that,
yes.
By the way. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment because that's a good comparison. I have zero problem with that.
Yeah, signed guy. Who was their quarterback in 1985? The guy that wore the headbands and those dark shades.
Wasn't it Vince McMahon's brother?
No, he was like the punk rocker of football. It might have been 86 or 85. Who was that Chicago Bear quarterback? I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
Wasn't the player's name Jim McMahon? The football player? Wasn't his name Jim McMahon?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it was Jim McMahon, yes.
There you go. Now, I believe QT also made that analogy because he thinks that Casey Carlisle will go on to be in a WrestleMania, much like some of those players went on to be in WrestleMania too.
Oh, is there a great big battle royal in my future?
I think there could be. You know, you could be fighting for the memory of Andre the Giant.
Who would play the part of Refrigerator Perry today?
Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, but he's cut. Like, Refrigerator Perry was, you know, I mean, looking at him, you know, he didn't have the same style of physique.
They would have to green screen it, and they'd have to, like, cut out the cutness and put in the not-so-cutness.
A lot of effort, though. I mean, there's got to be some NFL player that has the Refrigerator Perry physique that could step up and be the modern version of him in the Battle Royal. Who was it? They focused on one player. Who was it that cut that promo for them? He was on there. Resnick? Was that his name?
Frelick,
I'm trying to flash back to my WrestleMania 2 VHS tape that came in the awesome plastic clamshell, by the way, which I love. Wasn't his name Resnick or something? They did a little interview gimmick with him prior, you know what I mean?
I think the guy's name was Frelick.
Frelick. No, you're right. That's what it was. It was Frelick. It was Frelick.
Now, is there any possibility we'll eventually get the Casey Carlisle DVDs in a similar clamshell type of case?
You know, as much as I would like to say yes, I don't foresee that. I don't want to say yes and raise everybody's hopes. I would not even know where to start as far as the process of ensuring that the packaging was the clamshell case reminiscent of Coliseum Video. So I'm going to say no to that one just to avoid getting people's hopes up. Now, if I find a way to do it, and if we can make that happen, you never know. But at this point in time, I don't know about that.
All right.
I think we should be happy that there's a DVD to begin with, to be honest.
I was ecstatic. I may have just sat there listening to the soothing tones of the melody being played on the main screen for a couple of hours.
Which was very, like, peaceful and melodic, wasn't it?
It really was. It was tranquil.
I expected it to be my entrance music, and it wasn't. But it was so, you're right. I feel like my DVD is the type of DVD where people can, well, I just realized what I was going to say, I might bury myself, but I'll say it anyway. They can fall asleep watching it, and they can get a nice night's sleep out of it, and then wake up very gracefully and very, you know, ease into their day to the relaxing, peaceful sounds of the Casey Carlisle DVD. Because when you think of Casey Carlisle, you think of melodic music and peacefulness, right?
I do now.
Now that you've seen,
you know,
the DVD.
Well, multiple times. But, see, when you think of it, you can sit there just watching the main screen. You get a nice, deep, restful sleep. And then when you wake up, what's the first thing you see? Casey Carlisle on your screen.
That's true. So, sorry, guys, since you are an owner of the Casey Carlisle, the Best of Casey Carlisle Volume 1 DVD, I'd like to know what your favorite match on that DVD is. If you've watched it multiple times, I feel as though you should be familiar with the content at this point. So what's your favorite match?
You're not going to get angry, are you?
I was, I wouldn't have asked.
Okay. I would say the one where you accidentally tapped out to your opponent.
Oh, really? You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, I clearly saw you accidentally tapping out. You were, you know, trying to get your footing there, and the referee mistakenly thought it was a tap out. But I thought that was a very good match, and it was an interesting venue.
Indeed. Indeed.
It was both indoor as well as outdoor.
It was. It's funny how that happens in professional wrestling, isn't it?
Sometimes you just wrestle in the strangest of places.
You just never know where you're going to end up. But that's one of the things I love about it.
I once saw Tommy Rich wrestle for 30 minutes in the backyard of a pizza restaurant in front of 18 people, four of which just happened to be driving by from Chicago and see it and stop. So you never can tell.
That's really.
It really happened, yes. And he was fresh off of his ECW run where he was FBI and everyone chanted, "Where's my pizza?" And he literally explained how to go in and order an actual pizza because he thought that's what people were asking.
It's a great story.
It was different. It was very different.
Yeah, it's different. I was trying to play it up a little bit. It's different. It's definitely different. That's why I love wrestling fans so much. Wrestling fans are just awesome. And I know that because, you know, I started as a wrestling fan, so I know.
Now, speaking of fans, sometimes fans get a little overexcited. They get a little overanxious when they see their favorite wrestler. They think that they may never get a chance to say anything or to be in the same room with that wrestler again. What's been the strangest moment you've had with an over-anxious fan?
Gosh, that's a really good question because I've had a couple. Gosh, that's really, I don't know. I mean, because there are some fans that just, you know, like the night never ends for them.
Have there been any streakers?
Not that I've seen, thankfully. Not that I've seen. No, I haven't had any streakers. You know, I don't know that my experiences are all that much different than anybody else's. I've had people, you know, hanging out after the show, wanting to talk to me or take pictures. I've had one or two who have kind of followed me to my car, thinking that if they did, I would change my answer to whether or not I wanted to go eat together afterwards. That's always a little weird. I don't, you know, I've been lucky in that sense, I guess, because there haven't really been many fans who have gone above and beyond fandom to where I'd feel like it was weird or creepy. Not in person, anyway. Online's a different story, but actually in person, you know, most of the time it's fairly tame, and I really don't have... I don't really have many encounters like that, and I feel like that's kind of a good thing, maybe. Or maybe it's just luck, I don't know. But I haven't really had many people that have truly been fanatical in the fact that I felt like it was uncomfortable or weird.
The old veteran way of handling the people going to your car, you set your bag down next to the car, three cars ahead of yours. That way they think that is your car.
I actually employed that device. When I noticed that they were kind of hovering, I made a point to not actually walk to my car. I walked in a general direction elsewhere, and they were following behind, you know, like, oh, you can, it's right up the road. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Like, oh, it won't be, like, I know the owners. You can get a discount. It's not about the money. I have a six-hour drive home. You know, I'm never that person that wants to be flat-out rude and say, I have zero interest in hanging out with you or dining with you, because I'm just not that rude. Believe it or not, contrary, you know, to what may appear to be truth, I'm just not like that, because these are people who, you know, gave their time and their money by spending the money on the ticket and so forth to come live in our world for a night and to support us and buying the ticket to be there and watching us do our thing and so forth and allow us to entertain them for a night. And if they're so caught up in it that they are wanting to continue the night, then I think that's a huge compliment in a way. It's great that it wasn't just, oh, yeah, this was just another thing. Like, that's awesome in a way. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, I mean, everything has to come to an end at some point. And the truth be told, I do have several hours ahead of me normally for my ride home. So it's only every now and then that I hang out in the town I'm in before I go home. So it's, you know, I've employed that method before and kind of been like, oh, you know, thanks but no thanks. And I've done the whole dawdle thing and, you know, how long do I have to BS until they realize I'm not actually unlocking the car and getting into it. It's been a little awkward at times, but for the most part, and the truth of the matter is, and anybody who's ever waited on me after a show can attest to this, I take so long getting ready to go after I work that a lot of the times the fans are all gone anyway, whether they wanted to stick around and wait for me or not, that it's a non-issue. Because I'm just slow in that respect. I take forever to get changed afterwards. So, you know, one of those things.
Now, on occasion, I've known fans to want to buy certain wrestlers' hair if certain other wrestlers illegally cut their hair in the middle of the ring. Sometimes they want to buy a piece of that. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind for future events. Not that I think that anyone would attempt to illegally cut and or shave your hair, but if so, sometimes you can make a few bucks on it.
I have no interest in that, honestly. No. I mean, thank you anyway, but no. I don't have any interest in my hair being cut in any manner other than when it's on purpose and for a very specific and productive reason. And even when that happens, I'm surely not gathering it up to sell because that's just weird to me. Am I alone in that, or is that normal that I'm just out of the loop?
I'm just saying if the guy does it anyway, when you got 50 people wanting to buy it.
It's a guy who sells his hair?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, because I've seen it happen, sometimes fans will pay $2-3 for a small strand of it.
Okay.
I'm just saying it happens in this business. It's an odd business.
I don't doubt it. Look, yeah, I know. That's why I'm not overly shocked. I'm just, you know, whatever. Whatever you feel you want or need to do to make a dollar is cool. I'm just, I wouldn't, and that's just me. But if other people are able to do so and make money off of it, then more power to them. Good for them. That's good. I wouldn't do it because I feel creepy doing it, so I wouldn't. But if they do and people buy it, then bully for them. That's good.
We've hit the point of the show where it is time for Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk, one of your top 13 games of all time, I'm sure.
Oh, boy, here we go. And at some point, I am bound to have an answer that's not an option or pass. So, yes. Because it happens every time.
Yeah. Every single time. Let's see
it
if
really
we keep
does
the streak.
Every time.
All right, here we go. Lumberjill match or cage match?
Oh, man, right off the bat. Lumberjill match or cage match? You know, I have yet to be in a cage. I'm going to pick cage match.
Front face lock or rear naked choke?
Front face lock.
Back drop or leg drop?
Leg drop.
Starbucks or Tim Hortons?
Starbucks, because I've never had Tim Hortons.
Not even when you went to Canada?
I've never been to Canada, my friend.
Well, that's got to change at some point, too.
Well, that's another thing on the bucket list.
Yes.
All right. Hot tub or steam room?
Hot tub.
The Sign of the Times or the Milo Beasley Show?
The Sign of the Times, of course.
Greg Gagne or Greg Valentine?
Oh! Valentine.
WCW Saturday Night or Superstars of Wrestling?
Superstars of Wrestling.
Lance Russell or Mark Lawrence?
Lance Russell.
That concludes Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk.
Really? Already? That seemed really
already.
Short. Oh, my
gosh.
That was the
plan.
First time that I have neither passed nor offered my own answer.
The streak was broken.
I feel like that needs applause.
Yes.
And I would like to point out for the fact that Greg Valentine once cut a 10-minute promo while standing on my head.
On your head?
On my head.
Congratulations. I feel like that's something to brag about in a way.
Well, for him, yeah.
Shin guard? Was he wearing a shin guard as he did so?
He was not.
That's later Greg Valentine. No?
There was no hammer jammer shin guard. It was just bare shin, but he was standing right on my head as he spoke.
Hmm. See, that's like Greg Valentine the later years.
That would be accurate.
Yeah.
He
well,
may have slapped
a
me in a figure
round.
Four.
He did?
Yeah, he might have done that later in the night.
Well, something wrong with that. That's okay.
Well, yeah, if it's someone else's legs.
Well, that's probably why I'm saying it's okay. You know, didn't affect me at all.
That's true. Until now, because now it's being brought up in your interview.
That's true. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm affected by it, you see. I'm aware of it, but affected by it is something different.
That's true. And I haven't
sometimes
heard any,
I feel
like
I should have been a lawyer. But that's a whole other story.
Would you team up with Clarence Mason if you did?
I think I would. Absolutely. He was a legit lawyer, too.
That's accurate. He was.
I believe I would team up with him, as a matter of fact. Since you ask, yes.
Well, there's still time.
There is still time. You're right. The lifetime is still young. There's still plenty of things to do. Never say never.
That's right. And I'm sure Clarence Mason is still out there somewhere.
I'm sure he's around. Just might take a phone call or two to track him down, but that's easy enough to do.
I think so. We've tracked Slick down to Louisville, Kentucky, so you got to be able to find Clarence Mason.
I was always a fan of Slick.
Well, he's living in Louisville, Kentucky now. He moved there in the last 14, 15 months.
That's good to know. So if I'm ever out that way, well,
if you're ever in Louisville,
if I'm ever out that way,
up.
I'll just know that, because it's not like I'm going to look him up and drop in on the guy or anything. So I'll just have to know that. If I'm ever out in Louisville, I'll have to add that to my things I know about Louisville.
That's right.
Did you
also
like him better as the doctor,
Jim
of style, or as reverend?
He's reverend. He's actually a reverend of a church.
Yes, but back in the day, did you like him better as the doctor of style, Slick, or as reverend Slick?
Oh, definitely doctor of style, because as reverend Slick, he was wishy-washy, and then he made Kamala wishy-washy.
Yeah, I was a fan of the Doctor of Style, too. One of the best entrance musics, by the way. I still sing it to this day. I was singing it in the locker room not long ago.
Are we going to get a best of Casey Carlisle singing songs from the Pile Driver album CD at some point? Because I would buy that.
The Casey Carlisle Sing Along Volume 1.
Yes. I would pay $29.95 for it.
including Jive Soul Bro and Bird, Bird, Bird.
Would Crank It Up also be on there?
Crank It Up. Real American. I need to learn some Russian so I can sing. We could possibly
do
that.
You could sing Frank Zappa's Shake Your Booty. Yes.
I could sing that. Yes. We would have to set a year. We would have to set a time frame in which the songs would have to be plucked from, you see, because, I mean, I could go all over the place with wrestling theme. My brother and I, actually, when we were kids, we would pride ourselves on being able to on who was the fastest to identify the wrestler about to come through the curtain based on the music. If we couldn't guess it within the first quarter or two, then we had both failed.
What was the hardest one for you to get?
You know, back then, there wasn't one. They were all so distinguishable and so recognizable. There wasn't one. Back during that point in time, they all, like, for some reason, I don't know if it was just us at the time or if it was the music, but the first, like, note or two or the first chord of the music completely just spoke to you and just gave away who it was. And it was like, as soon as you heard it, you know, like when Jake the Snake, perfect, you know, when you hear, you knew it was him. It was just everybody had such distinguishable music. It wasn't a song off of the radio that had been remastered a little bit, and it wasn't something, you know, where it was a remix of something that you've already heard. It was so identifiable to that particular wrestler. It was easy for us. And maybe it was just us, I don't know, but we used to always sit there and we would try to beat each other on, you know, Big Boss Man or Dusty Rhodes or something, but it was all so recognizable. I don't think it's like that anymore, not to me anyway.
Dusty Rhodes would be easy because no one else had someone scream, American
exactly.
Dream beforehand.
But that's why it was so recognizable, you know. like we were talking about Slick, his Doctor of Style, it had that drum roll at the beginning. And it was so, it just stuck out, you know. And Demolition's music, everyone had such individualized music. It was easy back then. It really, really was. Today, I couldn't even, and honestly, as an adult now, I don't pay attention as much. This is when, obviously, way before I was a wrestler. But it was just one of those things.
How much pleading and begging for myself and QT would it take to get you to do a course of Jive Soul Bro live right now?
Far more than you have to offer, I'm sure. That just won't happen.
QT is willing to offer up to 5 fruit pies of your choosing.
Is that equivalent to 1999?
In his mind, yes.
No, and unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. I am not one who was blessed with a voice made for singing, unfortunately. I can appreciate it, and I do, but I can't do it.
That saddens me in my liver a little bit.
I'm sorry. Well, when this Pacific Northwest appearance happens, you never know. As I said, I walk around the locker room sometimes singing people's random entrance music for no reason. I'm sure that some of the boys could probably verify that. So you never know. If I do end up, which I hope I do, making an appearance out that way, you never know. Maybe all of a sudden you'll hear this female voice with Jive Soul Bro drifting through the locker room, and it'll be Casey Carlisle. Then you'll have a live rendition.
That's true, and I might have to retire because who could top that ever?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, meh, meh. I do it pretty well. I paid attention. I was a fan through and through, so I know the words. Mama didn't raise no fool.
Obviously not. Now, if I were to get my theme song to come out of your mouth as well, I don't know if I would even survive the night of pure bliss. I would probably just have to right there, because nothing could top it.
I'm sure. And even if you did start to fade, I'm sure that Mrs. Sign Guy would have the proper tools to bring you back. She would know what it would take. The curse of Casey will not overcome Sign Guy. Now, QT, on the other hand, I don't know.
I tell you what, Casey, if you take voice lessons, I will recomp those lessons if you provide a note of fill. And if you sing When Doves Cry by Prince with me at Blue Collar Wrestling, yes.
Really?
Yes.
So am I allowed to sing that song with you without the voice lessons being in place, or is that a requirement? Is that a prerequisite for this performance?
I'm going to say 2 voice lessons, and then you get cut off. Yes.
You have no faith in my natural singing voice, QT?
No. I mean, yes.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. The shirt price just doubled for you, my friend. The moment that I see the order is coming from your email address, all of a sudden that price point changes. The sale is no longer on, and it is now $29.99. Actually, no.
Boy, your price is going up like my blood pressure.
What can I say? You know, with each voice lesson deducted from the steal, the price goes back down.
All right. Well, we'll put this When Doves Cry singing duet on the back burner if you accept a homework assignment.
Now, you're worse than a teacher, because every time I talk to you, you have a homework assignment for me.
Yes. Well, I'm more excited about the homework assignments I give out up now, because Sign Guy and I have established an official logbook, and we actually heard back from a wrestler who completed a homework assignment. Yes.
See, because I have yet to complete a single one.
Yes,
You and every other guest save for Lou Crank.
I had
Lou
a feeling.
Lou Crank did complete his assignment to look up the Don Morocco Mr. Fuji comedy team. I was ecstatic. Yes.
Okay, well, can I just say that, first of all, if somebody is not familiar with Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji to begin with, I'm already disappointed and have no hope. Second of all, to me, it sounds like this person, you know how there's that one kid in class who's always a suck-up, who always wants to do everything before it's due, and they want to have all their footnotes and all of their reference points? That's who that person is to me. That's that one suck-up that just wants, you know, his whole goal was for you guys to single him out during my interview as the one person who did his homework, and now you've done that, and so he's sitting there licking his chops and pleased with himself at home.
That could be, yes.
I hate that person. All right.
Well, now, we assigned Mr. Pinzer to look up Booker T and Goldust meet at the 7-Eleven, and Booker T's leg is violated by an overly Pepe Le Pew-like mini-dust. I think he completed his assignment. Right, sign guy, Mr. Pinzer?
Not that I heard.
How
Damn.
Do you have verification of completion? How do you know that it's complete?
Oh, we take a wrestler, either he or she, at its word.
Oh,
yes.
See, the honor system in professional wrestling.
If they hold up the first two fingers of their right hand and say wrestler's honor,
you
it's
can't
a sacred
see it,
vow.
But I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head.
Oh, well, all right. Well, can we assign you, Casey, to look up on YouTube Team IOU versus the Washington Bullets?
Is that a legitimate video which I will be able to find rather easily?
Yes.
I will confirm that did actually happen and is available for viewing.
Team IOU versus the Washington Bullets.
Yes.
The reason I'm intrigued is because the Washington Bullets haven't been the Washington Bullets in years.
That's true.
Well, there's a tag team called the Washington Bullets.
Oh, I see. See, you're talking to somebody who lives in the Washington, D.C. area. Therefore, I was confused because, you know, they did away with that name Bullets several years ago because it was all, like, violent and crap. So that's a tag team.
Yeah.
Yes, QT speaks with straight tongue, not forked tongue. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't like Bernard King teaming up with, like, Harvey Grant to reform the old Washington Bullets. This is an actual tag team.
And I will have you know that I'm actually in front of a computer as we speak, and I'm going to look this up as we speak.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Hey, this is fantastic. Sign guy, we may have actually a homework-completed assignment as of tomorrow. And comments. Yes, I'm very excited.
This might be QT's proudest moment of his entire dreary, drab gray life.
Proving Ground Pro.
Yes.
Presents Living the Dream. Am I on the correct video, we think? Team
IOU
versus
right.
The Washington Bullets.
Yep. Yes.
Are they from Washington?
They are not. They are from, I believe, Arkansas.
I was going to say, they must be in that middle of USA area. I have the video. The video is currently playing in front of me. It is. The Washington Bullets are making their entrance. I'm going to pause this.
Yes.
It's almost a half hour long.
How
much is
this wrestling? Homework. He wants a lot of attention and detail and time put into it. So, you know,
Who was that?
QT. He likes to have people spend a lot of time on the homework so he knows that they've learned a lesson.
I see.
Yes.
Do we know if the match is actually 28 minutes and 38 seconds long, or if there's fluff? Or do we have a lot of time killing happening?
The match itself is probably bell to bell 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, so that's fairly accurate.
So, yeah, it's pretty close.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of skipping ahead, you know what I mean? Like in the bar here to kind of, and we are 5 minutes in. I don't think they've locked up yet. So I'm going to just, here we go. I think I just found it. Okay, well, I will keep that up and I will watch said match. Is that a part of my homework assignment? Am I going to complete my homework assignment if I watch this match?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then I will leave it paused here. And I will come back to that. I won't watch it now because that would make me distracted. Therefore, I will wait.
That makes sense to me.
Yes.
Now, one last thing before we wrap this up. Yesterday, you were walking around dressed as the cousin of Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. Am I correct?
I was dressed as that person for Halloween purposes. I cannot verify that I was dressed that way yesterday, but that was my Halloween attire this year, yes.
All right. Close enough for my purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being the much better-looking cousin of Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, sans the face paint, whom would you have as your ideal professional wrestling softball team by position? Whom would you assign to each position if you could put any wrestler into the spots?
Oh, my goodness. Really?
It's a legitimate question.
That's, wow. Okay. You sure are throwing me a curveball. Ah!
I see what you did there.
Did everyone catch that, C? Did you catch that?
Oh, she did it again.
Oh, I kill myself. Oh, I'm a talented biatch sometimes. Let's see. Just kidding. Wow. You went the whole team sign guy?
Well, the 9 starting positions would suffice.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I have no clue. All right. I don't have any idea where to start. First of all, the manager of the team would be Bobby Heenan. He would be our manager. I would be... What position would I play? See, I want to say that I would play catcher. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that the catcher is like the person running the team. That's what a lot of people don't realize. They're the ones telling the pitcher, you know, suggesting pitches for the pitcher, and they're the ones kind of keeping an eye on the whole field. The problem is my knees. I don't know if my knees could take being catcher because they hurt. To hell with my knees. I'm used to dealing with the pain. I'd be the catcher. Bobby Heenan's the manager. Are we talking fielding positions?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I have no idea, dude. I have no clue. Indie people?
Anyone you would like. Independent, national company.
Oh, God. That made it harder, actually, because that just adds more people. The thing is, I've not given this a lick of thought, therefore I have no prepared answer for you. We've determined I would be the catcher because I like being in charge and controlling everything. And Bobby Heenan is the manager. I mean, come on. All right. So, for the pitcher, Wasn't Randy Savage a pitcher?
He was not. He was a first baseman and catcher.
I thought he was the catcher. Okay, well, we're going to put him in at first base because he has experience there. I took the spot as catcher. Actually, he's more experienced. He'd be better. Put Randy Savage in as the catcher. I'll take first base. That's cool. Second base, let's see. I have no idea. I literally have no clue. I'm trying to BS this as I go. Second base, second, two. I don't know. Help me. Throw out some possible names. Do I have a draft? Here's the problem. I have no idea who my available roster is. Like, who do I have to choose from? Every single person ever in the history?
Yes.
That's a lot. That's a lot to come up with on the spot.
How about Green
Bay? But you're the one person I know that can do it.
Well, that's frighteningly confident. So we have Randy Savage at catcher. I'm at first base. We will put okay, at second base, we're going to put Deuce Donatelli at second base. Not a nationally known guy. He's a local indie guy in my area, but his name is Deuce. Therefore, he gets second base. That's my only logic. And he actually does play baseball or softball or something. So that works. So he's at second base. Shortstop, short sleeve Samson goes at shortstop.
I see what you did there.
Like that, see? And that was just on the fly, too. Oh, which takes me to the outfield. We're going to put Jimmy Superfly Snuka because if it's a fly ball, I feel like Superfly should be able to catch it. Put him in the outfield. I need a third baseman.
Kurt Henning.
Was baseball not one of his vignettes that he did? He played baseball in those.
He absolutely did.
Kurt Henning is on third base.
Yay!
Pitcher. We need a pitcher. Let's put MVP in as the pitcher. Makes sense.
There you go.
Okay, yes.
So I still need an outfield. I still need another outfield, correct?
Two more outfielders. And may I point out that Dusty Rhodes was a major league prospect at one point.
He was, yes, he was. Do I need to define which outfield they're in? Left, right, center?
I will not do that to you because I'm afraid that you would...
Thank you.
...forearm me the next time I saw you and I would miss out on Jive Soul Bro.
Appreciate that. Thank you. So let's put Dusty Rhodes in another. I need one more outfield, right?
Yes.
How about Leap and Lanny Poffo?
Oh, my goodness gracious, you read my mind. He can leap.
Yay!
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to go with. Leaping Lanny Poffo. Prior to the whole genius thing, because Mofo is Leaping Lanny. He can leap, and he can snatch those suckers out of the air. Boom. There you go.
And his brother is a catcher, so, you know, they'd be able to communicate well.
They would have this, like, inner working of communication that's on a whole nother level, right?
Yes.
I feel like that's fairly strong for coming up with it on the spot.
I think so. That seems like a solid lineup.
I think so, too. I'm going to go with it. There you have it. I'm assuming you took notes.
I did.
I figured you did.
Wait a second. How about Leapin' Lanny Poffo having a playoff with Jumpin' Jim Bronzell? Jumpin' Jim Bronzell was known for his high jumping abilities.
Well, this is true. This is true. However, Leapin' Lanny Poffo actually, he has the whole leap thing going in his name. He's leaping. Jim Brunzell, he was jumping, but if you're going to catch a baseball, they're normally higher up in the air. It would probably take, to me, a leap is greater than a jump. A leap is higher than a jump. So if you're in the outfield, I feel like you'd need to be able to leap better than you would need to be able to jump. But that's just my logic.
Good point. Well, we've come to the point where we sadly have to wrap this up. So I'll give the time to you if there's anything you want to say, plug or promote. Website, social medias, upcoming shows, your favorite fish market, anything you want. Floor is all yours.
My favorite fish is salmon, and I prepare it so amazingly. It's the whole, like, Italian kiss your fingers, throw them in the air thing. Beautiful. Above and beyond that, you know, it's funny. I've been actually working on my website throughout the course of this interview, so I'll start with that. My website is www.caseycarlisle.com. I'm working on updating it as we speak, literally, so it will be updated here within the next day or so. The poor little thing, I have had so many life things happening. He's a little bit behind, but he's going to be up to date within the next day or so. So caseycarlisle.com is the website where you can find my upcoming appearances, photos, videos from previous matches, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, Twitter feed. I am on Twitter at Casey Carlisle. I'm on Facebook. I have both a profile page, which is Facebook.com/Casey Carlisle, if you can get a friend request through to me, because Facebook is silly. I also have a fan page, which is Facebook.com/Casey Carlisle fan page. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. My username is, you guessed it, Casey Carlisle. I do have a Pinterest, but not many people look at that. So I'm basically all over the place. The primary places to reach me are my website, my Facebook, and my Twitter and Instagram. But I always encourage everybody to say hello, keep in touch with me. I do my very best to reply to all of my messages, interact with everybody. I'm a huge believer in the fans, because if they were not attending the events, then I would not have events to be booked for. So I'm a big proponent of that. But everyone, just check it out, see where I'll be and when. At some point in 2016, there will be a Pacific Northwest appearance on my calendar, come hell or high water. We're going to make it happen. But, yeah, everyone, just, you know, feel free to follow me, keep up with me, say hello, and hopefully I'll be in an area near you soon. Make sure you come out, check it out, and even if I'm not, support indie wrestling in your particular area, please, because it does ultimately benefit all of us, and we all truly appreciate it.
Well, as always, it was an extreme pleasure. I would love to see the baseball team take the field at some point. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you up here in 2016 for sure.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And thank you for having me on. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. I appreciate it.
Fans, get out there. If Casey Carlisle's on a show near you, get out there and check it. Extremely well worth the time and effort.
Thank you.
Go spend a few bucks on CaseyCarlisle.com. That's CaseyCarlisle.com for all your gift-giving needs. Remember, QT's favorite is the pillow picture, which you can never have enough of.
$19.99.
The shirts will be there soon. The DVDs are about to go back up. I took them down for a little while because I thought I was about to run out of them, but I have a couple of left. So they're going to be put back up here shortly. Yeah, everyone, check it out. And support is a very appreciated thing. So thank you all so much.
All right, fans, you can check me out in North Portland. I'm going to beeline down there. I'll be an NWA blue collar. If you're in Indianapolis, our Pacific Northwest champion is in Indianapolis of all places today. So go check those shows out. And we'll talk to you next Friday. Troy Miller on the show, one of the members of Team Bad Knees.